Hi, this is Paul Bogart. You are listening to TV Confidential.
Ed Robertson, along with our guest Stephen Bowie, freelance contributor to CBS Paramount and the Archive of American Television, and the publisher of the Classic TV History Blog. The Classic TV History Blog, an excellent resource packed with information on the writers, producers, and shows that came from the first 25 years of television, including The Naked City. You can read about Stephen's writings by going to classictvhistory.com, www.classictvhistory.com. Now, Stephen, we've been talking mostly about The Naked City, which aired in the late 50s, early 1960s. Another show that you wrote about Once Upon a Time from that era. You did an excellent article for Television Chronicles, which we mentioned early in the program. You did a wonderful piece on East Side, West Side, a show that was very much ahead of its time.
Yeah, I mean, it was, it was so ahead of its time that nobody really knew what to do, you know, like the network didn't know what to do with it. Audiences didn't know what to do with it. I mean, it was very, until it started to compromise because the ratings were terrible, it was really uncompromising. It
yeah.
was incredibly downbeat. It was, you know, it was about social workers, and it's, you know, social workers are not crusaders, you know. They don't win the case at the end of the hour,
exactly.
You know. They're fighting a very uphill battle for incremental gains, and even with George C. Scott playing the main social worker and him getting to read out the bad guys from time to time, it was just very downbeat, and it was shot very much outdoors in the actual slums of New York City, you know, it focused on a lot of social problems that a lot of people didn't want to come home from work and think about. So it's just fascinating now because there's nothing that's quite as, except for The Defenders, there's nothing that's quite as hard-hitting from that period. And even The Defenders, they're talking about it in a courtroom, but East Side, West Side is showing it.
Right, at least in the courtroom, I mean, that's a level of escape for virtually every, you know, viewer, except those who are either lawyers or work in the legal profession. But it is sort of removed, whereas if you're living in the inner city, whether it's New York or, you know, inner city Los Angeles or whatever, it's just, yeah, I mean, you know, back in the early, you know, first decade or so of television, viewers were less inclined to, I mean, there are more, I would say they were more inclined to watch television, you know, for entertainment purposes, to escape their troubles rather than be reminded of them.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, particularly, and I think, you know, by the late 60s, television had become enormously escapist, much more so than it has been at certain points since. And I think that was in large part a reaction against shows like East Side, West Side,
yeah.
and Naked City, and sort of a perception that, you know, it was hard to make money.
Yeah, but at the same time, a show like Naked City is like the antidote to remarks such as that famously made by Newton Minow at the time, of that denounced television as a vast wasteland, chewing gum for the brains. And obviously, East Side, West Side was anything but. But for whatever reason, the audience was not ready to accept it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think today it would be just as hard, if not harder, to try to get a show like that on the air and to make the audience, you know, get the audience interested and behind it. I mean, it's not quite the same list, but there's, you know, there's a list of things that you can't do on television today, just as there's a list of things you can't do on television, you couldn't do on television in the 60s.
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, because I don't think an East Side, West Side would work on network television for some of the same reasons we've talked about today. I think it would work on cable television. You know, because I'm thinking off the top of my head, I'm thinking of a show like The Wire.
The Wire was a lot like East Side, West Side.
Yeah.
But The Wire was the hard sell, too. I mean, The Wire sort of limped along. I mean, even for even for by HBO standards, The Wire was sort of a vanity project that was there for the critics. It was never a top-rated show, and it was always on the cusp of not getting picked up.
But at least we're glad that shows like that are done and that networks like HBO stayed with it, because it shows that it's a reminder of what television, you know, of what dramatic television is capable of bringing.
Well, people always proclaim the death of culture, and I still believe that there's going to be some outlet where people will get to do something good. It won't last all that long. Yeah. You know, eventually things will catch up with it, and it'll have to move to someplace else. But, you know, for a while, you know, recently it was HBO, now maybe it's FX, or now maybe it's basic cable. But, you know, talented people, I think talented people are still finding ways to get their stuff out there. I'm not giving up on that yet.
Of course, East Side West Side was one of the shows produced by David Susskind and Talent Associates. I would be remiss if I did not plug the fact that we'll be talking to Stephen Battaglia, who is the author of an excellent biography of David Susskind, David Susskind, A Televised Life.
And Stephen's book is great, by the way. That's one of the best TV books I've read in a long time, and I don't say that about a lot of books. Well, I say that about a lot of historians' work other than my own.
Yeah, well, Stephen, you've never said that about my book, so.
Oh, that's. I love your books, Eddie.
Yeah, thank you very much. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
What other thing? I mean, East Side West Side was not only ahead of its time in terms of its story, you know, material, its portrayal of the windmills fought on a day in day out basis by the you know type of social worker played by George C. Scott on the show, but it was also ahead of its time in its portrayal. I mean, of the two other recurring characters on that show played by Cecily Tyson and Elizabeth Wilson, respectively.
Yeah, I mean, they were female social workers, sort of. I mean, the most interesting thing about Elizabeth Wilson's character, I think, is that she was George C. Scott's boss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think she doesn't really look like a really feminist character now, because she's a little bit of a caricature of, like, these sort of, you know, snooty do-gooder liberal who's kind of clueless about, not quite that much throwing her under the bus, but she's a little dowdy. But you know, she was his boss, and it's hard to think of another example like that. Of a woman being a man's boss on TV at that time. And of course, Cicely Tyson was black, and although she wasn't really a full-fledged social worker, they couldn't get away with that. She was kind of the office secretary, but they tried to ignore that and make her equal to the other characters. And she, you know, not only was she an African-American actress, but she was very dark-skinned, and she had an afro, and both of those things were quite unusual on TV at the time. And there was a lot of resistance to that, and a lot of the network being afraid of it and really trying to get rid of her, which they finally succeeded in doing. I may have misreported some of this when I wrote that article 10 years ago. I wrote that they fired Cicely Tyson, that one of the reasons they changed the format to get George C. Scott's character out of social work and into politics was just to get rid of Cicely Tyson. And apparently, according to Stephen Battaglia's book, they never really did formally fire her. You know, they were always sort of working on a plan to bring her back, or George C. Scott was insistent that they bring her back. And you know, there's always been this thing that Scott was saying that if they'd been renewed for a second season, they were going to have an interracial marriage between his character and Cicely Tyson's. And I always thought that was just George C. Scott, you know, sounding off to the press. I never thought that would, even by George C. Scott's standards, that anyone would have taken that seriously except him. But according to Stephen's book, it actually was something that they were going to try to do. if they'd gotten picked up, which is pretty amazing to think about.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-890-1032. 800-890-1032. 800-890-1032. That's 800-890-1032.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.